Welcome to the Warriors of Grace podcast, hosted by Dave Jenkins. Warriors of Grace is about helping men from generation to generation become gospel men in private, in the home, in the church, and in public through the Word of God. Now for today's episode, let's join our host, Dave Jenkins.
All right, men, welcome back to the Warriors of Grace podcast. My name is Dave, and I'm the host for this show. And today we're going to continue our series titled The Providence of God, Suffering and Trials. This is episode 4 in this series, and it's titled Suffering, Trials, and the Christian Man. James 1:2 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." Before we dig into today's passage, it's important to look at the structure and the theme of James. And it might seem at first glance that James seems to move from issue to issue without developing a strong theological argument. In fact, to a casual Bible reader, it might even appear as if James' choice of topics is somewhat random. And with that said, though, James does not offer a straightforward an argument as, for example, the Apostle Paul. That does not mean that there's no overarching theme in his letter. As you read James' overriding concern is to show us how to deal with various afflictions from the perspective of authentic faith in word and deed. And coupled with this is his concern that our faith might be purified through trials. That is to say, James understands that God uses trials to strengthen our trust in the Lord and to bring fruit into our lives that we might be lacking. And we see this in James 1:2. We're told to count it all joy when we meet trials of various kinds. And in context, the trials spoken of here have to do with outward afflictions or troubles. And so when we encounter suffering and harassments, we are to receive them with joy because we understand that God is at work in the world, as we talked about last week. And so we consider them pure joy, knowing that these are not just, these are from the hand of a good and loving and just and holy God. We must receive these trials with joy, because in these testings, steadfastness will be produced, James 1:3 says. And the word translated as testing, it occurs rarely in the Bible. It appears only three other times. And in this case, testing, it deals more with purification through trial than with examination to see whether faith is present. And when we meet trials faithfully, our struggle purifies our faith and produces steadfastness. And throughout life, our faith must grow. We start with a small faith, but as we live the Christian life, our faith becomes stronger and enables God to add more and more faith to our lives. And as the disciples once did, so we too must ask God, as Luke 17:5 says, to increase our faith. And this he will do by bringing us through various trials so that our faith will produce the steadfastness of perseverance, guaranteeing that our sanctification will be completed when we are glorified, when we meet Jesus face to face. And simply because faith is purified throughout life does not mean our works contribute in any way to our being declared not guilty by the Lord Jesus, by faith in Christ alone. Rather, this teaching recognizes that we must continually strive to keep our faith in Christ alone. Many things come against us that tempt us to take our eyes off of Jesus and look for hope in other places. And if you're going through trials or difficulty or dealing with a difficult situation, you must remember that God uses those situations to purify your faith, men, and to lead you to trust in Christ alone. And now James says, "Consider it pure joy, brothers, when you face trials of many kinds." And it would be seriously wrong to assume that James advocates the kind of unrealistically happy-faced Christianity that we often encounter today. Just be happy. Your best life is now. James is telling us that in spite of the fact that trials can be severe and painful, we can see through our tears and realize by faith that God has a good intention in taking us through these challenges. And we can recognize that the trial will produce perseverance and help to make us mature and even complete. And so there are three kind of tribulations that are spoken of in the New Testament and in James: persecution, poverty, and sickness. These are the divine crucibles by which our faith is made pure. And because we know this, indeed we should, we can rejoice in the Lord. And what enables a person to persevere is integrity. Integrity means that we don't compromise, and thus it enables us to not give up. Integrity is not something that comes overnight. It's something that's built up through repeated tests. It is the trials that God sends that purge us of sin and enable us to grow in maturity and integrity. And James says that perseverance must finish its work so that we become mature and complete, lacking nothing, James 1:4 says. This doesn't mean moral perfection, as if we become sinless in this life. Rather, it means wholeness. The goal of the test God brings to us is to make us well-rounded as believers. Every single one of us has things that are out of balance in our lives, and God's goal is to make us stable and mature so that we have the right perspective. And those who have matured through some suffering know that it sobers us. It removes the brashness of youth and replaces it with the consistency of maturity. It takes off the rough edges. It teaches us to prize what really counts and to let go of things that don't matter. During the time of our suffering, we don't see the end result, but by faith we can count it as joy because we trust that He knows what He's doing in and through our lives. Have you ever been through a time of suffering and you've come out of it milder, more sober, more of a centered person in Christ than you were before? What bad aspects of your life were refined and what good aspects of your life were strengthened? As hard as it may seem, strive to thank God for the trials He sovereignly brings into your life. You know, man, there are many things that to say about this topic. You know, for many of you, the last 2 years have been deeply challenging, and rightly so. We've gone through COVID. Many of you have had COVID. Maybe you've had a family member die. You know, I had COVID, and I remember that I had to take basically a whole week off of work, which for those of you that know me, you know that that's a pretty hard thing for me to do. And then to sleep because you have such an intense headache, which I had. I have the COVID headaches. I do not recommend those, by the way. But more seriously, they really do hurt. And I had to basically just sleep all day long, 15 hours a day, plus, you know, go to bed at night. And it was challenging. And then, after I had that, a few months later, in October of 2021, a dear mentor of mine died. And that was deeply challenging, to say the least. And I can look back on that, and I can be thankful for it now. I'm thankful for the encouragement that this man had in my life. I'm thankful for the influence that he had on me and how the Lord used him to profoundly shape me. You see, we can look back at these times after a season of sorrow, after a season of difficulty, a season of, you know, reflecting on the grace of God. And we can look back and we can be thankful for the people that have deeply impacted our lives. See, this is what suffering does. It marks us. This is what trials do. They mark us. I could talk with you for hours about how the Lord has used both of my parents' dementia and my dad's dementia now for over a decade in my life to grow me to be more trusting in the Lord and in the sufficient grace of God. And now with my mom's Alzheimer's, I'm not the same person that I once was. As my dear mentor once said, God hand tailors the situations of our lives. And He's not wrong. That's what we're talking about today. God hand tailors the situations of your life. They're not happening willy-nilly. They're not happening just because. God is not asleep at the wheel. He is not just, the things that aren't are happening aren't just happening just because. They're happening according to the plan. They're happening according to the purpose. They're happening according to the design of God. And the question becomes, as we look at James 1:2 again, James very clearly says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. And as you think back to, or maybe you are in a trial or you're suffering now, are you counting it all joy? Or, you know, I can be honest with you, many times in my own trials, in my own suffering, you know, I'll put my head down. And what I'll do is I'll become depressed and I'll become discouraged. And then I'm thinking, why am I so tired? Why am I so discouraged? And I have to remind myself of these very things that I'm telling you today. The Lord is at work. This is why we need other men in our lives, so that we can share about our struggles, our hurts, our pains. That's why I need you and you need me. We need one another in our local churches. We need people speaking into our lives. We can't do this by ourselves. For a reason. That's the way God designed it. And yet, in the midst of your grief, perhaps, in the midst of your challenges, in the midst of the things that are going on in your life, are you counting it all joy today? Or are you doing the opposite of that? Are you discouraged? Are you anxious? Are you depressed? And on and on. But James is clear. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. How? You have to look to Jesus, as Hebrews 12:1 says, the author and the finisher of our faith. He endured the greatest suffering for us. And so Jesus is not only just our great example, he's the one who bled and died in our place and for our sin and rose on the third day. He's the one who promised to send the Holy Spirit to indwell us, to teach us, to help us to remember the truth that is in the Word of God. And boy, don't we need that. Don't we need that? And when we're facing seasons of grief and hardship and difficulty in all of life, and yet, in the midst of it all, we need not only to remember, we need to count it joy. Why? Because we need to remember Jesus. We need to remember what he's done. We need to rehearse it again and again and again to ourselves, so that we can remember and remind and encourage one another. While, as Hebrews 13:13 tells us, it is today. So that we might not be hardened in unbelief. You see, I need you and you need me. We need to encourage one another. We need to pray for one another. We need to walk alongside of each other. Galatians 6:1 says to bear each other's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Suffering has a purpose. You know, there was a long time when I first heard about my dad's diagnosis with dementia. When I knew what I was telling you was true. But you know what? It took a long time for that reality in the midst of that to become true in my heart. To become true in the way that I saw that situation. It took years. And there's still some days when I'm like, have I really taken this home? Because it's really hard. And in those days, it's okay to cry. Jesus wept. John 13 tells us he wept. And if you're honest with yourself today, you know that you have your hard days. You have your days where you might just muscle through and power through. I understand. But do you take those cares and those hurts and those pains, men, to the Lord? Do you take them to the Lord who knows the situations and the hurts and the pains of your life? Because 1 Peter 5:6-7 tells us that we're to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and cast our cares on the Lord who cares for us. He cares for us. Hebrews 4:15 and 16 tells us that in the midst of everything that's going on in our lives, Jesus invites us to himself. And he understands all that we're going through. And we can come to him with all of our burdens, all of our hurts, all of our struggles. And this is why James 1:2 says we can count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Because as we've been talking about in this series, the Lord is in control of all of history, world history, your history. Things are not just moving willy-nilly. History is, God is not asleep at the wheel. The Lord is in control. He is good and holy and just and perfect in all of his ways. And so if it feels like today you can't possibly look to Christ, that's when you need to really be looking to Christ. That's when you really need to maybe call up a brother and say, friend, brother, I am struggling right now. Here's what's going on in my heart. That's when you need to tell your wife what's really happening in your heart. Men, you need to break down your pride and talk to your wife. She's there to help you. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've had to do this with my own wife. And she is so good about just listening. And sometimes, you know what? She has some things to say. And some of those times, some of those things that she says they're hard to hear. But you know what? They're said out of love. They're said out of concern. They're said out of helping me to fix my eyes on Jesus. That's the kind of men that we need to be. Not only for ourselves, not only in our homes, but for other men in our churches. We need to be there for one another. We need to walk alongside of each other, help each other, care for one another. Because we're all going through, at various times, we will all go through difficult times. We will all go through difficult things. And it's the reminder, the encouragement. Did I count it all joy in the midst of this situation? And how did I do that? I didn't do it on my own. I did it because of Christ. It was Christ who carried me through it. And as you look back on those things, think about that this week. Look back at those things in your life. Look back at those men that have helped you. And be thankful for how they helped you. Maybe you have that kind of guy in your life now. Text him. Call him. Let him know. You know what? We all need the encouragement. We need one another. Well, guys, there's a lot to say about this, but I'm going to leave it at that and say until next week, may the Lord richly bless you and keep you.
Thank you for listening to the Warriors of Grace podcast. If you enjoyed the show today, please subscribe, leave a rating on the app, and share our episode with your friends and family. If you want to, you can follow us on Instagram at Servants of Grace, on Twitter at Servants of Grace, or search Servants of Grace on Facebook. You can also find our show on the front page of the website servantsofgrace.org.